We are going to have a time of prayer. If anyone has a need at the end of the service that you would like to be prayed for, just feel free to, you know, come up at the end of the service and have a seat, and we would just love to take the time to pray for you. It's amazing what we are seeing going on, and I'm excited to be part of it. Just a small part, but a part of it. Just amazing. I don't know why I put this back over here. I need it for my Bible. One afternoon after the Sunday service, the pastor's wife plopped down into a big easy chair and said, "Boy, am I ever tired." He said, "How could you be tired?" He said, "I preached 2 messages last night, gave a total of 5 sermons today. Why are you so tired?" Said, "I had to listen to all of them."
That's a good joke.
I questioned, should I use that? But I did. We've talked about a lot of different prayers that God's answered over the last few weeks. The prayer for direction in our lives. The prayer that he provides provision for us, provides housing, he provides freedom, he provides food, he takes care of our needs. We talked last week about salvation and the cross, and that represents the cross and what salvation does. Well, today we're going to talk about healing, and this next slide will give a representation of what that meant. By his stripes, we are healed. Many verses listed in the Bible about healing. In fact, of all of the things that are talked about in the Bible, healing is mentioned more than any others. In fact, there's 75 different references in the New and Old Testament about God healing people. And here's some scripture references that you may want to write down. There's also a list of healing scriptures with the scriptures written on them outside. If you want to pick up a copy of those on your way out, I believe that God heals, but I also believe we can live in divine health. Because I think there's 2 steps to that, you know. And some people never been sick or living in divine health, they just may not realize it. But they are. But those, some references is Genesis 20:17. Genesis 25:21. Isaiah 53:5. Matthew 8:2-3. Matthew 4:24. Matthew 15:28. Mark 5:41. Mark 8:23-25. And we're going to talk about that one. Luke 5:24-25. But there are some important lessons that I think we can learn about healing. And the first one is that God healed people to glorify himself. And you think of, well, that's kind of self-gratifying and self-edifying and, you know, that type of thing. But what it did was that when somebody's life changed, somebody had to realize that it wasn't by accident. Someone touched that life. And so what he says in the Bible is what we do is to bring glory to him, not to us. So he heals us for his glory. His healing touch not only touches the physical part of our bodies, the physical part of who we are, but it also touches the psychological part of our body, our mind, our thought process, the psychology that goes behind how we live our lives, but it also touches the spiritual part of our body, which is why he died and shed his blood. There are times that healing came immediately to people, like the scripture that Tom read. He said, and I'm going to share something that I think that will open our eyes when in a second here, but he said to him, "Pick up your mat and walk." And the Bible says immediately he picked up his mat and walked. There's sometimes you have to pray two or three times. I don't know why. I didn't write it. But sometimes that's what we have to do, and I'll give you an example of that. There's sometimes it comes through a process. But the bottom line is it comes. Linda's going through a process of two knee surgeries. And that's a process. But God's bringing about the healing. All doctors can do is treat and prescribe. God healed people because he had a destiny and a purpose for them. And stop and think about that for a second. If we're sick, or we're something wrong with us, and we think that God gets glory out of our being sick, we're listening to the wrong gospel. We're listening to the wrong message. We're listening to the wrong messenger. Because if that's the case, then why would it give him glory when people are sick and when people walk around afflicted? And the fifth thing was that when people sought God's healing, they were sincere and they were genuine. It was something that they really believed in. So when we apply those principles to our lives, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's going to bring a solution to that. He's going to bring about the healing that we need. And if he gave us a destiny, I keep thinking about when I hear the word destiny, Gideon was a man of destiny. He couldn't have avoided if he tried, and he tried plenty of times. But if God's going to give us a destiny, then he is going to give us the ability, the time, the opportunity to fulfill that destiny. It's not going to just happen. But he's going to give us that. If we have a purpose, he's going to give us that opportunity to bring about all of the challenges that are before us. Today across Christianity, there are so many different interpretations of healing and in regard to how God answers prayer. There are some people that deny that he answers prayer. And they believe that it's only through the modern miracle of medicine that people are healed. If that's the gospel that we're listening to the wrong gospel. Because I believe that God does heal people. And it's been evidenced by what was shared today. Some people think that God heals people, but he never interacts with them. And that couldn't be farther from the truth than we are to the sun. Because God does interact with us, and God does talk to us, and God does lead us, and God does touch us. So we can see that we know that God is willing to heal, and we know that he does heal. There's a prayer of healing in your bulletin, and it goes like this. Lord, I submit my life and my heart to your will. I ask you to heal my body and remove the source of the sickness. Bring me comfort and rejuvenate every one of my cells. Provide your clear solution to the ailment that is affecting my body, soul, and spirit, so that I can have life and not just survive it. Restore every area of my life in your hands. Restore every area of my being. Help me to recognize when your solution comes. Sometimes people don't even realize when it's happened. They're so used to living in that pain. I place my life in your hands and rejecting enemies' attack upon this temple of the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. And I would encourage you to maybe stick that on your mirror in the bathroom and read that every morning, because that's part of what divine health really is. Looking at Mark 8, 22 to 25, I want to share some scripture with you here. It says, and they came into Bethsaida, and they brought to him a blind man and begged him that he would touch him. The blind man begging Jesus to touch him. Then taking the hand of the blind man, he led him outside the village, and having spit in his eyes, after he placed his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And remember, the man was blind. And when he looked up, he said, "I see men that are as trees as I see walking." Then he again laid hands upon his eyes, and he stared straight ahead, and he was restored, and he was looking at everything clearly. And he sent him to his house, saying, "And do not enter the village." And there's another reference that he said, you know, do not enter the village and do not tell people. We're going to share that in a minute or two. But what happened here was it took a couple times for God to heal this man. Now, there will be some people that will tell you in this life that all you need is faith for healing. I think you could use some faith, but I think we have to be genuine and we have to be sincere. There's a perfect example, though, that God in healing in the Old Testament is the same God through Jesus Christ as healing in the New Testament. Sometimes we need to pray more than once, but we always need to keep in mind that God the Father is the key, because we have our healing through Jesus from God. And so that's an important thing, I think, to keep in mind. We can also experience God's healing for our spirit. The body's made up of spirit, soul, and body. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow." There's the three parts. Soul, spirit, and the joint and marrow. What it says is it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The spirit, that consists of creativity, intuition. Ever heard that phrase, that still small voice? Follow it, don't second guess it. Second guessing can get you in some serious trouble. And spiritual sensitivity to what we need to do. And when we were praying for people the other night, the Spirit of God will speak to you and let you know a lot of what's going on in people's lives. It's called discernment. And what that does is helps us pray for people. Our bodies consist of molecular structure, genetic and chemical compounds. We're all different, but we all have a body. Our soul is a psychological part of us, including our emotions, our intellect, and our will. And so when people sometimes are sick and sometimes are afflicted, those body, soul, and spirit are so interrelated that it affects different aspects, and in some cases can affect more than just one area of our lives. And sometimes it's a physical issue that we get depressed about because we haven't been healed. And so that begins to affect us. Many ministers, as I said, will teach you that people suffer from a lack of faith. And I think that when we look at things, that it's not necessarily a lack of faith. It's just frustrated that they've lived so long that way. Sinful affliction, the destruction of our faith in God, is really what it is. And so when we look at it, Romans 1:28 says, "When people reject the knowledge and leadership of the Lord, they become depraved." Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to go out and commit a bunch of wrong things and commit a bunch of sins. But what it does say is that our mind becomes depraved. That's one of the important things about what God says about renewing our mind daily, that we can overcome that. Our greatest need today is not political or financial help. Maybe the United States of America right now's greatest need. But it's not that. It's not substance abuse. It's not internet addiction. It's not racism or social injustice. But it's unbelief. It's the fact that people don't believe what God said is true. And because of unbelief is why a lot of people walk away. And all the difference between unbelief and belief is a 180-degree turn. If I'm walking down this street and I don't believe anything, if I'm going down this way, I'm not going to get to Hamilton unless I go the long way. I can believe I am, but I'm going to end up in somewhere out there. But if I go out here and turn left, and I know I'm going to Hamilton, and I know I'm going home, I can believe that. And that's the same thing. It's a change of direction. It's a change of thought process. Faith is the part of it that we need to think about. But if it only takes faith, then what was read in today is wrong. John. Let's take a look at John, because I think it's kind of interesting when we look at this. This is what I want to share with you. I do know where John is. The pages aren't worn enough in this yet. Tom read earlier about the man at the pool and the fact that when Jesus come along and what he said. And I'm going to read a couple more verses after what Tom read. Therefore, the Jewish leaders were saying to the one who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath and it is not permitted." And he answered them, "The one who made me well said to me, 'You must now take your pallet and you must walk continually.'" Don't think that meant physically. Now I'm going to tell you why. "And they asked, 'Who is this man? Who said that to you? You must take it and you must walk.' And the one who was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus withdrew, since there was a crowd in the place. And after these things, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him," so this is after the healing, and he's in the temple. "Jesus says to him, 'Behold, you have become well. You must no longer sin, so it would not become worse for you.' The man left, and he's reporting to the Jewish leaders that Jesus was the one who made him well. And because of this, the Jewish leaders were pursuing Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath." What's interesting about this is what Tom read earlier. And when Jesus said, "Do you want to become well?" the sick man didn't say yes or no. He said, "I haven't got anybody to lift me into the pool." He thought that it was the pool that did the healing. When Jesus come along, and if it's interesting, you want to go back and try to find verse 4, read it. Because it skips from verse 3 to verse 4, unless you go to some old translations, and it talks about the angel of the Lord coming down and stirring the water. And when the water was stirred, then that's when the healing took place. But I think it's interesting that wasn't his yes or no answer. His answer was, "I can't get in the water." He had no idea really what was taking place. We know that God heals the soul. We know that God heals the spirit. We know that God heals the body, because we've heard it shared today. Physical afflictions come and go. They come, we pray, and they're gone. I don't think you can lose healing, because once God gives you something, he doesn't take it away. It's like you see, and I've shared this before, a lot of times we see fallen evangelists that are back in the pulpit again doing miracles. Because when God bestows a gift on someone, he does not take it away. And that's hard to believe, because we wonder, well, why not? But that's the way he operates. And so I think what happens that when we're hurt or have a a pain or something's bothering us, and God touches that and heals it, and then we feel that ache or pain again, we need to go back and reclaim that healing. We don't have to go back and get healed again, because once he did something, he's done it forever. And I think that's a misconception. Some people are just predisposed to physical problems. Some people can walk in a donut shop and put on 5 pounds. Thanks, David. That's two of us. Some people live rough lives. Smoke, drink. I'm not speaking against those. I'm just telling you that people do that and overdo it and ruin their lives because, well, let's face it. Surgeon General said stuff causes you harm. Surgeon General's right. And so we look at it and we say it's not fair. Why does some of this stuff happens to, you know, to me and not to someone else? But what happens is that when God touches us physically, he reverses those effects of the illness on our lives. And God uses every means available. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he doesn't use science. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that he doesn't use medicine. I'm not going to stand here and tell you not to take your medicine. Because doctors treat. But I am going to tell you that when you take your medicine and God's healed you, we ought to go to the doctor for confirmation that we've been healed. It could be just part of a checkup. If he could use Pharaoh, why can't he use technology? We never want to discount any open door for what he wants to do in our lives and how he wants to touch it. Doesn't make any difference if we go to the doctor or if we fall on our knees. God is there to take care of us. There's a story in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34 that is really a wonderful story to kind of close with. Jesus was walking through the crowd one day, and there was a woman, as you're aware of, that had an issue of blood that said for 12 years. The man was paralyzed almost 4 decades, 38 years. And for 38 years, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, he thought that if he could get in the pool, he could be healed. Well, this woman thought that if she just simply touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be healed. But Jesus said, the power of the Almighty God healed you. Her misconception was if she could touch the garment, then she'd be healed. And that is faith. I'm not questioning that faith. But it wasn't the garment that healed her. It was the power that went out from Jesus. Well, here's why she was healed. She was healed because, or despite of, her erroneous belief that it was the garment. Healing is activated by faith in Jesus. He responds to that faith. God knows what his will is. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So we need to renew that soul, which is our mind, on a daily basis, and we will prosper and be in health. That's what he said. She expected something she had the problem with for 12 years, but she never gave up. She sought Jesus for this. So, in conclusion, we see that God heals psychological needs. He heals physical needs. He heals emotional needs. He'll heal any need that we have. It could be instantaneous. Could be a process. Could be medical technology. It could be a divine act of God. But we do know that he works on every front and works every way that he can to orchestrate healing for us. Because we have a destiny. And when we place our faith, and we've talked about the faith, you know, the size of a grain of mustard seed, and that's all it takes, the smallest amount. In fact, Val was healed because of Nancy's faith. So it doesn't necessarily have to be yours, because the man that Jesus healed was blind from birth. So it's not just necessarily faith, because, or not necessarily something we did wrong. So as we take a look at this, and whatever a person's need is, God has an answer. And God will take care of it. So at the end of the service, I'm going to be up here. I'm not going to be back here shaking your hand, but I'm glad you're here and I'd love to see you. And we're open next Sunday morning. And we're not going to have Thursday evening service because it's Thanksgiving. And Cindy will not roll me in here. But we're going to be available for prayer. And so let me encourage you, whatever it is, we'd like to just pray for you and just ask God to meet that need in your life. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you touch our lives with a physical touch. And you touch our lives with a spiritual touch. That we can have life forever. So Father, we thank you for that. And we pray, Father, as we conclude this service this Sunday, that you will minister to the needs of those that come to you in faith, believing that whatsoever you said, you'll do it. I'm thankful for those words. In your name we pray. Amen.